I started to see the spirits of my grandmothers around me. And unsure of what it was, and thinking that I was about to be committed to a hospital because I was seeing dead people. That was like the first time that I recognized that I had a gift when I started seeing my grandmother's spirits around me.
Do you think something was wrong with you, or you were like, because you said it runs in your family. So I think you were somehow familiar with it. Have you experienced something like that before? No, you're shaking your head.
Hi, and welcome to Taboo with Mimi, the podcast that talks about anything and everything, really, that is taboo in this world. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. No. But seriously, I go around the world because I'm a digital nomad and I interview people from different cultures and ask them about their taboos. Why? Because it's time to talk about them. Some things will hopefully make you think, others will maybe gross you out, but most things will be something you can relate to. So there you have it.
Welcome to Taboo with Mimi. Hello, everyone. I am very excited today to have Tina here with us. She is a very interesting and special person. She will tell you all about who she is and what she does. But yes, Tina, welcome to Taboo with Mimi.
Thank you so much, Mimi, for having me here. I'm glad that I received the invitation to have this wonderful discussion with you today.
I am so excited for our conversation, and I'm just going to go right into it. And I'm going to ask you, who are you and what do you do?
I am Tina C. Hines, Life Transformation Specialist. I am a fifth generation intuitive clairvoyant, medium, empath, healer, all that magical stuff wrapped up into one. Former corporate executive assistant. I'm a mother. I co-authored the book, a myriad of things. I wear a lot of different hats.
I'm just going to rewind for a second because I want to go step by step into your story and who you are and also what you do. You said you're fifth generation clairvoyant. What does that mean?
Well, fifth generation means it runs in my family. Primarily
Correct.
on my mother's side. Clairvoyancy is more of I have the gift of sight. I have knowing. There's six clairs. And so I have the gift of knowing. I have the gift of sight. I hear things. I taste things. It's just really this intuitiveness that I have. And many other people have it as well. I'm not the only one that allows me to support those women who come to me when they're feeling stuck and where they're feeling overwhelmed.
What is the difference between being a clairvoyant and being a medium?
So clairvoyancy is the gift of sight. Medium is when you are connecting with loved ones who have transitioned. So it's dealing with people on the other side. And for me, I also channel them as well. So there are times when I am working with clients and they come to me for mediumship and my mannerisms will change. I'll start having the behaviors of that loved one who's transitioned. One of the stories that I share, so it warms my heart often, is I was traveling once and I met this woman on a ferry going over to Anguilla, and she overheard me talking to someone that I was a medium. And when we were getting off the ferry, she approached me and she says, "I overheard you're a medium. Do you think you can do a reading for me?" And I was like, "Sure, here's my website. You can go to my website and you can schedule a session if you'd like." And typically, when I'm doing mediumship sessions, the loved one comes to me the night before. So she had booked her session. I saw it came through. And that night, I saw this vision of this woman dancing. And she had a red bandana on her head, just swaying back and forth. So the next day, when I get to my client's villa, typically, if I experience something before I get there, I'll tell them immediately before I do their session. So I says, "Interesting thing last night." I says, "I saw this woman dancing." I described her and I said, "She had a red bandana on her head." And she just looked at me like a blank stare. And she goes, "Oh, okay." And so I still use Oracle cards, but I use a different deck for those who have transitioned. And I'm pulling the cards and I'm doing the reading and I'm sharing information with her. Her mother comes through. I start channeling her mother and giving her different messages. And So we get towards the end and she goes, I need to show you something. And I go, okay. She pulls out her phone. She pulls up a video, and it's a video of her and her mother dancing together. It was the last dance. Her mother had a red bandana on her head because she had cancer and her hair. She had lost all her hair. And she said, so when you said that, I was like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And so I was like, okay, this is interesting. And she said, thank you for giving me that. I really appreciate you giving me that.
I got some chills. When was the first time that you were like, oh, wait, there's something different? I don't know if it's the right word. Maybe more like special about me that the other people don't have.
Honestly, I did not know until my early 40s. I had suffered from clinical depression. And that was a time when I allowed myself to get quiet, not by choice, but by force. And as I was getting quiet, trying to process what I was experiencing through the clinical depression, because I had never experienced it before, I started to see the spirits of my grandmothers around me. And unsure of what it was, and thinking that I was about to be committed to a hospital because I was seeing dead people, that was like the first time that I recognized that I had a gift when I started seeing my grandmother's spirits around me.
Do you think something was wrong with you, or you were like, because you said it runs in your family. So I think you were somehow familiar with it. Have you experienced something like that before? No, you're shaking your head.
I wasn't familiar with it because it was not a conversation that was had in the household.
Why not?
That I can't answer. I'm not sure why. Okay. It was never had. I can dissect a couple of reasons why, because I did grow up in a religious household. And if anything has the appearance of not being of God, then it would be considered evil. And so when I first realized that I was starting to see the spirits, my mom's the oldest of 10 kids. And I started asking my aunts if they had ever had any experience with my grandmother. I had the pleasure of meeting my mother's, my great grandmother. So I was familiar with them. I knew who they were. And eventually one of my aunts suggested that I talk to one of my cousins, who is my grandmother's niece. And when I started sharing with her what I was experiencing, I said, I've been seeing visions of your aunt, my grandmother, your grandmother, and your mother, because it was her mother as well, and some woman. I have no idea who she is. And my cousin said, describe her to me. And I started describing this woman that sort of, to me, was disconnected from these other three women who I knew. And when I described her, she says, oh, that's your great-grandmother, Jenny. You're just like her, and I've been waiting for you. That's how I found out at 40.
Wow.
You're just like her, and I've been waiting for you. I'm like, okay, I'm not. Because she's going to say, because I says, I think I'm going crazy, and I think I'm going to go to the hospital. She says, and once I told her, she says, oh, no, you're not crazy. And then she started sharing with me about her own experiences, because she has the gift too. And that time, I think she was like 83 years old. And she explained to me about her mother, and her mother had the gift of healing people. And she would start telling me little stories of the experience. And that's how I started coming into it and learning more about it. But it wasn't talked about because her grandmother, which is my great grandmother, was the wife of a Pentecostal minister. We spent every day in church. So it just was not something that you would talk about, especially in the Black household, because it was considered evil.
I love it because this fits right into taboo. Like it was taboo.
Yes, it was taboo.
So then you're 40 year old and you see the spirits. Do the spirits talk? What was your experience with it?
So the experience with the spirits, it's interesting, the dynamics of them. So let me give you names. My grandmother, who is my mother's mother, her name is Ella Marion, and her sister's name was Elizabeth. Their mother, her name was Harriet. Harriet's mother's name was Jenny, and that's who my cousin Jenny is named after. With all of them, it's interesting because Grandma Jenny is the queen bee. I call her the queen bee. She is the only one that actually I can hear her. I can hear her giving me messages and downloads. The only time that I hear my grandmother, Ella, is when it has something to do with her children. So whenever there's a family member that's having a challenge, I can hear my grandmother say, go talk to, or go call, or send, or reach out to them. I can hear her, but it's the only time I hear her. Other than that, I am being guided by Grandma Jenny. I am 100% guided through messages. Certain little things will start to happen, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I always like to tell my clients that our life is like we're putting together a 100-piece jigsaw puzzle. It's easy to put together the exterior because the outside is smooth and you can figure out how you're putting the pieces together. It's the interior that can be somewhat of a challenge. And I'm always getting right. these pieces of this jigsaw puzzle.
That's so interesting. When your grandma, because you said that your grandma tells you things about your family or someone is in need of help, it's not that you're like sleeping or you're closing your eyes, like you could be doing whatever and you just hear this voice in your head. Is that what happens?
It could be random. Typically, I get messages between 3 and 5 o'clock in the morning. That's like the stillness of the morning where you're not overwhelmed with what happened the day before. And you probably, if you're a normal person, gotten a little bit of rest, and it's before the next day begins. And that's when I get downloads. And for me, sometimes I feel their presence, their energetic presence around my bed. When I first began this journey, there was constant presence around my bed that drove me absolutely crazy because I was not getting any rest. However, when Ella, my grandmother, she gives me messages, it's always, I know I need to reach out to that person. I never know the reason why. I'll ask my biggest question that I ask people is, how are you feeling? Versus how are you doing? I always say, how are you feeling? I want to hear the feeling that you're experiencing. And sometimes they'll share with me and other times they won't, but then they'll circle back to me and they'll say, how did you know? And I was like, I was guided. I'll say, we called her Nana. I was guided by Nana to reach out to you.
Wow. Super interesting. But then when you do the work with other women and you help them with whatever they need, then who are you guided by and how does that work?
I know that your audience, I was like, give us the great terminology that we should use. There is no real terminology for me. Like I said, each one of us who has this gift, we learn in different manners. Some people are book taught. There are some people who go to classes. I've tried that multiple times. It doesn't work because something will happen and energetically I'll get pushed out of that particular way of learning, style of learning, because my grandmothers didn't have books. They learned by doing. And that's how I have been guided to learn by doing. So when I am working with my clients and I am coaching them, let's say through a challenge that they're having in their life. So there was a woman that I was working with who was having some relationship challenges. And as I'm working with her, I kept intuitively hearing this word, but I'm not allowed to tell you what it is. I have to guide you towards the answer. Some psychics, clairvoyants, they tell you specifically and people thrive off of, you're going to tell me what I'm going to do and what's happening in my life. For me, I guide you there so you can have your aha moment, not me telling you what's going to happen. So when I am getting messages from my clients, sometimes it could be my great-grandmother guiding me towards the questions to ask them. Other times it can be their loved ones who have transitioned that come into play as well. So as this particular client, it was more so my grandmother guiding me because it was the work that they had done in the past. So here's the most interesting, I'm going to put a pin right there. Here's the most interesting thing. All of my grandmothers in some form or fashion worked with women. And the foundation of what they had done in the past was the continuation of what I am doing now. So that's why my coaching leans more into women and making sure that their emotional, their physical, spiritual well-being is okay. And with this particular client, she was going through some challenges romantically. And each time we would have a coaching session, I always give the homework of you have to write in your journal, because that's a form of release, because everything is sitting in our vessel. We're holding on to it for dear life. And there's no space for new to come in. And in order for new to come in, you have to let go of. So they're always encouraged to write in their journal, whether they write a word, whether they write paragraphs, it doesn't even have to make sense, simply to write. And starting out, she refused to write consistently. I'm like, what did you write in your journal this week? And she would never say. What did you write in your journal? She would never say. And then finally, one day I go, you need to write in your journal, because I get these pings in my stomach. It's almost like a hunger pain. And finally she's, oh, Tina, I don't know what to write. And I was like, the sky is blue. Write you're hungry. I don't give a crap. Just write something in your journal. She wrote one word, abandoned. Once she wrote that word, I told her in every area of her life, with her spouses, with her parents, with her children, with her grandchildren, how she was abandoned in all of those relationships and how it was impacting the romantic relationships that she was having, or lack thereof. All I needed was that one word. I had a little bit of information about her, but this was literally early on, within the first 3 weeks of our coaching program. And we worked together for a little over a year, but this was just in the beginning. And once she was able to tap into that, it was amazing. Like a switch went off and everything shifted after that.
Why were women coming to you? Is it mostly relationships? Is it something else? Do you have anything like you focus on more?
It's across the board of why they come. And I think previously when we were having a brief chat, when I worked in corporate America, women were still coming to my office in corporate America. And I did not understand why. I'm like, we're not office buddies, but they would show up to my office and energetically, they would just start sharing. People would just, I like to say, dump on me. And they would just share in a way that I think they felt safe, they felt seen, and they knew I was not going to judge them. And 9 times out of 10, I view things as solutions. I view situations as solutions, not problems. And when women come to me, I ask a simple question. Do you need to vent or do you need to complain? Because there are two different things. And that means they require two different actions. Venting is, I'm going to sit here and listen to you, but you only have 5 minutes and you can get off of your chest whatever you need to get off. Complaining means there's a problem that needs a solution. And once you share it, we're going to identify what the solution is so you can move forward. But we're not going to be in between both. So women will come to me, whether it's for relationship, whether it's for trying to decide if they want to make a career move or make a location move. They come because they have experienced past trauma in their lives. Sometimes I work with them in tandem to working with therapy. They come to me because they're empty nesters and they've poured their all into their family. And now they're on a search of who am I? What am I outside of a mother, outside of a significant other, a spouse? Who am I? It's across the spectrum. Low self-esteem, they'll come to me for. I experienced that with one of my first clients. She struggled with low self-esteem and she was living in an affluent area. And she just, I want to be like them. And I'm like, you don't want to be like them because they're miserable. They just know how to cover it up.
That is so crazy. But to me, it sounds like if I were just like coming, like looking from an outside perspective, it would be like, okay, she's a great empathetic person. She probably can feel other people. But what is the difference, in your opinion, with a therapist that would just guide me through some kind of solution, if there is any?
There is that fine line between therapy and coaching. And I make sure that I do not cross that line, because there are situations where it is more of a therapeutic nature, deeper. I had a client who, I wouldn't even say she was a client, because she started out, it was a consultation. And she was struggling with childbirth and birthing a child. And she wanted to work on coaching. And I was like, no, that's more therapeutic for you to discuss some of the challenges that you're facing as it pertains to conceiving and what's going on with you mentally as far as conceiving. And it was an area where I recognized very instantaneously that I knew I could not give her the support or proper guidance that she would need. And for me, at the end of the day, it is about the person who's coming to me, that they are able to reach the goal that they desire. And if it's not me, I will find someone to refer you to. I don't ever want anyone to say, oh, I worked with her and she couldn't help me. If I can't help you, I'm going to tell you very early on. With therapy, they have many years of education and that they have to work through, and they have to be, even though I'm certified, they have to be certified in a different way. And it really is the way that a coach is taught versus a way that a therapist is taught. A therapist is guiding you towards, let's get through it. Coaches typically, I'm going backwards. I need to find the root cause of what was causing this particular issue in order for us to work through it. But I don't want to stay back there. We're not going to stay back there. We're going to get you to where you need to be.
You also read cards, like tarot cards as well?
Yes, I do oracle cards. Oracle cards are softer and nicer. Tarot cards are cutthroat. I feel that when I attempted to lean into the tarot cards, it felt heavy and dark to me. No matter how many times I've tried to get different decks that looked lighter. And it uses a different side of your gift when you're doing the tarot cards versus the oracle cards are very, very, I'd say that they're very soft. They're not like you're going to die tomorrow. The tarot cards are more sensitive, and the number of cards in the deck are totally different as well as the symbols that are used depending on the type of deck, because there's so many decks out there. And my energy has always leaned towards what's light. And the energy of oracle cards is light for me.
But this is really interesting because, and I'm going to share something we do now that I've never shared before, and I very rarely do. I feel like for me, I'm always that person that goes into things with skepticism in general. And I remember one day, and I wonder what you think about it, my dad, so if it was anyone else, I would be probably like, oh, whatever. What are the chances? Maybe it was just luck, right? Maybe it was just a coincidence. But then one time my dad goes, oh, there was a time during my life that I was able to read cards. And he said there was a time in his life when he was younger where he could read cards, and after he couldn't read them anymore. I wonder what you think about that, about like, maybe losing your gift. Can you? So my dad brings up this example, which was like, yeah, I was doing a reading with this couple, young couple. They came to me. I pulled out the cards, start reading them. And I'm like, this is so weird because I see, you know, this was a young couple. I saw a relationship with an old man. I kept seeing this old man. I was like, this is very weird. And she becomes like blank, like pale. But, you know, they don't say anything. And then after, he later found out that she actually was cheating on her boyfriend with an older man. And so this is always crazy. But then like my dad was like, yeah, that was like one time I was able to do this for a while and then I can't anymore. I don't have the gift anymore. And that's so funny because I never shared the story because I'm like, yeah.
Our gifts are not gone. They're just quiet for a little while. It all depends on when they show up and how we choose to cultivate them. And they don't leave us, because that's one of the questions that I get from women who have a gift. And they're like, I used to feel my mother and I don't feel her anymore. And I'm like, there are so many reasons why shifts happen. And sometimes you may need that moment because it's consistent with you. And if you ask them to come back, they'll come back. Say that you're open to receiving them and you're okay with them being present. Thing that's important that we remember is our life, the way we live our lives, is we still have to live in the present day. We can't be living with those in those spirits. Like even though I know my grandmothers are around me, I still have to live in reality. I still have to live in the everyday life of things. And sometimes this is how my interpretation of it is. Our spirits want to make sure that we are allowed to still navigate our lives in addition to having this gift. So they sometimes give us a break, and then they sometimes come in and kick our asses. Pick one.
So interesting. I wonder if my dad were to pick up cards again today, what would happen? Because I get tarot readings a lot, just because for me, as I said, it's nice. I don't 100% always believe in it, but it's just something that, you know, sometimes I believe more in it, sometimes I don't. It just depends where I am in my life as well. So my question for you is, do you ever have like very skeptical people that come to you and then leave feeling a little differently? Or is it not something that really happens? Because I'm like, I'm not interested in people that are a little bit like, that don't want to come. I'm not here to convince people.
Number one, my job is never to convince anybody. And right. My clients who come to me, they're typically referred to me from someone else. They don't know everything that they're getting, but they know the possibility of what they could experience by receiving a reading or an energy clearing with me. The most challenging time is when I do the energy work and allowing themselves to release control, because ego wants us to control everything around us. And when I'm doing the energy work, that is a period of time where trust is important for them to be able to open themselves up to the possibility of, after 35 to 40 minutes, you're going to walk away feeling a little bit lighter, and what you came to me for is not going to weigh heavily on you as it was before. And you'll gain clarity of where there is a blockage for you as well, so you can start working in that specific area, or so you can identify what has caused that blockage to be there. That's the only time I'm really more challenged, not so much with the readings or with the mediumship. The mediumship has its ebbs and flows because the client walks in with the expectation of, I want to hear from a specific person. And there are occasions where that specific person doesn't come through. Another family member or friend will come through because what they need to say takes more precedence over what this one person they want to hear from. And I make sure that they're aware that I know you want to hear from your mother, but your grandmother wants to come through. Or I know you want to hear from your father, but your uncle wants to come through. And I've had times where I felt the presence of multiple family members and my body was like shaking. And I'm like, they're all fighting on who gets to speak first. And I'll start describing them. I'll give them visuals of who the person is. I may smell different scents about them. And I'll say, this is what I'm smelling. There was this one client, I kept smelling cigarettes. I'm like, why do I keep smelling cigarettes? Come to find out, her grandmother had a tobacco form. She was like, I kept saying, I don't smoke. And she says, but then I forgot my grandmother grew tobacco. And I'm like, there you go. So it's, we have an expectation of cigarette, but you didn't think about the tobacco component of it. So I find it so unique when I try to explain it to people. And I'm like, especially if they've never had a reading, I'm like, it does not necessarily mean it's specific to you. It could be someone else you're connected to.
So you said, this is all very interesting, that it doesn't have to be specifically for you. Maybe something around you, some kind of answers. But I still want to ask you this follow-up question, which is, are you ever afraid to say something wrong?
No, because the message is not for me, it's for them. The way that I am guided to deliver it is not in a harsh way. If I notice that there could be harm that possibly could come to a person, I'm not going to say, you're going to get into an accident tomorrow. No, it's more of be careful or be safe or pay attention to your surroundings. It's conscious of pay attention to your surroundings versus something really harsh that's going to make, they always cry. So I can't even say that's going to make them cry, but they always cry. I mean, it's always an emotional experience. And part of the reason I feel it's an emotional experience is because it gives them confirmation or clarity on what they have been experiencing themselves, and to finally be in the presence of someone who understands it, who gets it, and is able to share it with them and give them that sense of comfort can be what they've been wanting to experience for a while and just have been searching for it.
Interesting, because you do also, I guess you do all types of sessions in present and online. Is that correct?
Since I've been in Morocco, I've been doing a balance of a lot of them have been remote via Zoom, but that was the same thing in the States. And I've had visitors who have come to Morocco. I have a group coming in next month that I'm doing their sessions in person. For me, it's the same. I rarely notice a difference, even when I'm doing the energy clearing, because I'm working over physically over the body. On Zoom, I'm looking at the body. Like, they have to be laying a specific way in order for me to see where there may be an obstruction. And then my energy is generated to a specific point in their vessel, as I call it. But nope, they feel it even when it's remotely. I used to question it as well. Like, I'm wondering if they're feeling it. And my clients have told me, they were like, this is what I felt. And there was one client, there was this darkness and I kept going, pushing it out. And she goes, it's funny because I felt myself like gasp for air when you, something in the meditation that you said, and it just felt like I was pushing something out of me. Like, I felt it.
But for you, from your end, I'm wondering, do you have to be in the space or it doesn't really matter? Do you have to say, okay, now I'm doing the energy cleansing and now I'm doing the session? So you do you something for yourself so you can receive all this knowledge? I don't know if that's the right word or it just happens. Like, do you prepare? Do you have to prepare? I don't know. Does my question make sense?
My only form of preparation for me is to get centered. So I do meditate. I meditate not just with them, but I meditate before I start. I use sage to clear the space before I start. I've also used my protection crystals, my black tourmaline and my smoky quartz. Everything is to make sure that what I am feeling is of theirs and not of mine.
Got it. Why do you think this is so taboo in today's world? We touched upon it a little bit. You said, obviously, when it comes to religion, there's kind of like some taboo in there. But it's also very much taboo in other cultures or for other people that aren't not really religious at all.
I can't even explain fully why it would be taboo outside of the religious space. Because when I think about people of faith and in the religious space, they are prophets. And the prophets have gift of sight. What would make a prophet who has gift of sight any different than a clairvoyant or a psychic who has gift of sight and can and sees things and knows things? The only difference is the wording, the language that is used. There's no difference. And typically when I encounter people who are skeptics, I encourage them to go watch a movie called The Red Tent, because it shares about how, and I'm not a scholar of the Bible, Joseph had this gift that his father would come to him and ask him, what do you see? And he was ostracized by his brothers because he saw. But it was like, because he was getting all the attention. So what's the difference between that and what those of us who may not view it as a gift of God, because I just call it Gus, God, universe, source, who it comes to us from, Gus. I don't put a label on it. It's a gift.
I'm not sure I want the full answer, maybe just a yes or no, but I wonder, do you see anything about me?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good enough. And I'm going to have to book a session and have my reading, which I will do for sure because I'm so intrigued now. But I usually ask this question as a kind of a closing question. What do you wish other people knew or so about your work that they don't, or that society doesn't see that actually is valuable?
I wish that society could see how those of us, be clear now, those of us who are operating in this space from a light and having access to a resource or a source that can support you in experiencing your breakthrough, I wish more people would allow themselves to experience it versus remaining paralyzed in a cycle that doesn't get them what they desire. When I started this journey, I say, we are going from a state of hurting to healing to happiness. And when you experience ultimate happiness, that happiness is what you use when life throws you a curveball, because life is always going to throw you a curveball. However, a lot of us have this ego of, I can do it myself. I can figure everything out myself. And in the midst of that doing it yourself, it keeps you stuck because you only touch the surface. You don't go really below the surface to identify what the root cause of whatever you're working through and how it's impeding your progress. And I wish that more people would allow themselves to experience it, to open themselves up to the possibility of what they could experience. That's what I wish.
That was a really interesting conversation. I loved it very much. We're going to put all your links and socials in the description down below. You're on social media, right?
Yes, I am. I am on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And I usually do lives on TikTok.
Amazing. We're going to put all of the contents in the description down below in case someone wants to book a session with you. And yes, that was a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to having my reading. And yeah, I'll see you around.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye, everyone. See you next week.